I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a very interesting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual, and we'll be centering our discussions this evening concerning motivation and how it connects with health and our spiritual life, as well as dealing with the topic of fear. And before we get into that, I would like to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to our listening audience, as usual, just for being you. And also special thanks for those people who took time to email me during the week and to express some of their ideas concerning program content and also sharing some of their personal successes with techniques that they've heard about and are utilizing, that they got the ideas from ET Yoga. So I really appreciate hearing all the good news that is out there. And you can always email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, all one word, lowercase, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And I'm always especially interested in details when people especially are utilizing the technique of throwing a positive spin on outer circumstance. So if you've got some good success out there, makes my week to hear about it. And I would also like to mention that in addition to my email address, you can always check out my website at maxwellgreensite.com, and that site's called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And also, we're now currently up and running now on Empower TV, so there's a bit of a commercial there for the website at maxwellgreensite.com, and that's Michelle Blood's program, Empower TV. So to get into our main topics tonight, you know, to me, this is just the most exciting time that you could possibly be living on this planet. And, you know, sure, there's the negative and the polarities that are going on out there, and a lot of things are coming to the surface. But the bottom line is it's all needed, and it's all necessary. And in the midst of all this, you know, here we are with making decisions concerning some key topics, especially our spiritual progress, and a lot of people are also concerned about weight loss. And, you know, I find the two topics really do go kind of hand in hand, because I found that the more self-empowered you become, it also kicks over into the area of healing and to some of the foundational aspects of good health. So to me, these topics really really go together. And one of the reasons that I chose to do some comments concerning weight loss and spiritual work is an article that I was reading that said that 75% of Americans are having some problems getting motivated to do these, you know, kind of disciplines that are necessary in life. And I guess one of the things that came to my mind first was thinking about Bashar, and of course Bashar's comment that at the heart of all spiritual techniques was this requirement to feel valued. And I think this is, you know, it's easy to gloss over this point, you know, and say, oh, well, everybody needs to be valued. And people say, yeah, I do, or maybe they don't, but they kind of go on to the techniques. And I think it probably bears mentioning that a little bit of focus on this concept to feel valued and deserving of good things is an important foundational core to your spiritual progress. And in addition to that, I think sometimes, and related to that, I know a lot of people tend to become more isolated, or because a lot of people are moving around with their jobs, etc., maybe a little less connected with some of their personal friends. This feeling of unconditional love, and as Bashar would say, the whole universe was created from unconditional love. And certainly, the more you can approximate that, the closer you are to that energy, as well as the energy of your own higher self. And as Bashar would also comment, that the proof of unconditional love is really in that you are supported in all of your beliefs. You're loved so much that you're even supported in the belief that you're not loved at all. And I think it's really important in this, especially in this time, because really, in one sense, you know, the whole future of humanity is sort of hanging in the balance here, and everybody's needed. And you know, as pointed out by the 100th monkey effect, where, you know, when that 100th monkey gets a concept, that the whole society gets it. And who knows, maybe you'll be that 100th monkey. Or in as we discussed last week, chaos theory, where one particle of sand can be the catalyst for the shifting of the whole pile. And, you know, this is not like, you know, some political vote where maybe sometimes your vote doesn't count or there aren't any choices. This is everybody's vote counts, because we're all part of the group mind here. And I think a couple other concepts really, you know, relate to this as well, and that is, one is developing, you know, respect for human life, and second, this old notion that going against the negative and, you know, kind of the good guys and the bad guys and overpowering the negative, and I think this is one of these concepts that's really outmoded, and we need to really start learning and having more people clue into the fact that by creating new positives is the way to go. Not getting tangled up with hate or anger or getting involved with the negative. In conjunction with that, certainly is the whole concept here that everybody matters and we all count and we're kind of all in this together. And developing some personal discipline certainly is important. Now, with respect to losing weight, I know that there's lots of opinions out there, and you know, certainly everybody's got them. But you know, I was reading some Bashar recently and Swami Satchidananda concerning weight and bodies, and you know, both are very consistent in their approaches. In that, it's kind of like they related it to different styles of cars. You know, there's Cadillacs and Oldsmobiles and Volkswagens and Corvettes and all different kinds and shapes and sizes of cars. And this is pretty much true with human body as well. And for the most part, both of them express a feeling towards, you know, an acceptance for all types and shapes. And really, I know that maybe some of the marketing out there is, you know, for the super slim or the super fit, and that's all great if you're into that, but I think it's important to realize that unless you're at an extreme, it's not a big deal as far as your spiritual growth is concerned. And certainly when you're at those extremes, or you feel that your weight is a cause for concern, then I think, you need to make this a top priority. And I know I was involved with non-smoking programs for teenagers for a number of years, and one of the things I learned from that was that the words try and should were really built-in excuses, and it's really a do or don't do. And it's the same with losing weight or even doing your spiritual practices. And I know sometimes time flies by and we make excuses, we didn't have time or other things happen. But you know what? You make time for what you really care about. And want to find out what you really care about, take a look at what you spend time doing. And I think, we've come to a point here where we're about 3 years away from middle part of 2012, and this is not really the time to be dogging it. This is the time to really put the pedal to the metal and do your inner work, especially in finding out what your current beliefs are and discarding old beliefs that don't serve you anymore, reprogramming into new positive beliefs, and certainly attracting yourself to intending to be part of the hologram that creates heaven on earth is a very positive thought as well to have. And of course, the biggie here is taking 100% responsibility for your current circumstance, which ironically you have created. And because this in itself will get you out of the whole consciousness of victimhood. And with respect to idea about if you feel as if your weight is an issue, and I don't mind saying that there was about a 7 or 8 year period where I was out of the country of the United States, and when I came back, I was shocked at the number of people that I would call probably in that group of about 150 pounds overweight, and I understand that research is showing now that it's the fastest growing group. And, I know it's easy to make excuses, you're eating the same way you used to and all of a sudden, but you're putting on way more pounds than you thought. Well, I really think there's a concerted effort out there to really make people, considerably overweight, and the monosodium glutamates that are addictive, as well as these high calorie foods, especially the fast food places, and it really needs attention there with respect to finding some good sources of food. Even the whole idea of three meals a day, I know I couldn't do that. Maybe you can. Certain metabolisms are such that some people can just eat all they want and they don't gain weight. But from what I've seen, the people that are in that category of 150 pounds over, I think you got to really think about some of the yogic ideals that, like, ideally maybe eat one large meal a day, or even cut the three down to two, or if you're eating three and snacking in the evening, I don't think there's a rocket science involved in figuring out how to lose weight. It's called eat less, exercise more. And in that regard, I know some people have talked about, they've tried every diet known and whatever. Well, here's one for you. Superfood. And that's, you can buy superfood at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. You can order that on the internet. It contains all the nutrients that the body needs. And, basically you can live on it. Now, how much you have to eat in conjunction with that, well, that's an individual perspective. But I would seriously consider that, as well as cutting down the number of meals. Getting off animal fats. Now, if you want a really great motivational speech, you can Google search the effect of animal fats on humans. And the effect of animal fats on humans, clearly the best, motivational speech that I've ever heard. I think his name is Dr. Clapper. He only mentions his name once on the actual video, and that's at YouTube as well. So you can go right to YouTube or you can Google search. And incredible information there. Basically connecting animal fats with every known disease to man, pretty much. And the whole concept here, especially of getting rid of such things as high cholesterol and high blood pressure. Well, it's the animal fats that cause the hardening of the arteries. They're it's the main cause for, you know, heart disease. And when the animal fats are not ingested into the body, what you find is that the condition really does remedy itself. This is very curable. And when the it's just kind of like if you were pushing water through a hose, when you make the hose smaller, then there's going to be higher pressure. And the more that your arteries flow, the less pressure there's going to be. And again, this isn't rocket science. And if you get off animal fats, be sure to tell your doctor, because you're going to be tapering off on all those pills that they try to tell you that, you know, you're going to need for the rest of your life that you probably don't. So, you know, and it's the same with, you know, like cholesterol. Well, why do you get high cholesterol? You get it from meat for the most part and eggs. So if you're eating those bacon and eggs every morning and you're wondering why you got high cholesterol and you're taking pills for it, well, get off it. You know, there is no requirement, as this movie shows, there is no physical requirement the body has for animal fats or anything that comes from animals. And it's some very vivid visuals there concerning even the intake of cheese and what this does in the bloodstream. An amazing, amazing video. In fact, you know, as we're all sort of taught from the time we were younger about the four major food groups, well, that's when all the meat and dairy people were pushing their products. And the fact is that two of the main food groups can kill you in time. And that's the meat and dairy products. So, you know, vegetarian's the way to go. If you can handle vegan, even better. But to start working on it, on what you can handle and working in that direction is certainly, you know, the way to go. And the pounds do come off. And so it's a combination of how many meals do you really need, what kind of foods are you putting into your system? I mean, if you're like a lot of people and they're going to, you know, the fast food place at lunch, you're probably getting as much calories right there as you really need for the whole day. So and you really need to start doing some planning around what types of foods are put into the system. And it's kind of like putting kerosene into your gasoline engine, you know, and it's not running properly, and you're wondering why, and all of a sudden you start putting gas in. Well, the body was made to run on fruits and vegetables. And, by the way, the myth that you don't get enough protein and all that, to me, and to this doctor that's on the YouTube, the effect of animal fats on humans is that's all a myth. In fact, the truth is that most people in North America actually get too much protein, and it's that too much protein that sucks the calcium out of your system. It's why people have bones and why you know so many people with that need hip surgery and etc. It's because they actually get too much protein. And like I said, one of the best videos I've ever seen, and clearly motivational. And certainly, if you're really going to pay attention to being motivated with respect to health and doing the right things, I don't know a better foundation than the one suggested by Bashar. So this is extraterrestrial in nature. And it's not, again, like rocket science. It's a lot of common sense things, but it's basically seven basic things. And the first one, of course, is water. And we're made up mostly of water. And unfortunately, a lot of people are drinking water with huge amounts of fluoride. And the suggestion is get off it. You need to, you know, spend some time on your health and what's important for you and your family. And certainly drinking pure water is important. In fact, I know in Patricia Corey's books, No More Secrets, No More Lies, the very interesting information in that book, concerning how water affects all our DNA, and certainly how anything metallic, such as the toxic waste that is fluoride, is not helpful to your DNA or your, in fact, it's a numbing down effect on the population, really. And there's no positive benefits, from fluoride. All this stuff about it supposed to be good for your teeth, etc. Well, that's been pretty much disproven. In fact, it's really kind of funny in a way that toxic waste, which has no benefit that people that produce this should be paying to eliminate someplace, actually the public ends up buying it, so they dump it in their water. Not really a good plan. And also on the list of the must-dos is oxygen and oxygenation. And the oxygen on the planet actually is not that good in most places, especially if you live in large cities. And I know that the best way, of course, is yogic breathing, and to get into some form of some kind of a breathing program it's very important. And, of course, that's part of Hatha Yoga, and I'd like to share with you some information from Swami Satchidananda concerning the breath of life. And he says, when you're practicing the Hatha Yoga postures, you may feel a rush of energy or prana. The entire system is being reorganized. You are feeling the movement of prana in the body. While it moves, it realigns many of the parts that have been out of alignment. It's very good and will make you more peaceful and healthier. It'll never harm you. Prana is the vital energy or force that causes movement. All movement everywhere, even the movement within the atom, even the movement of thought, is caused by prana, the cosmic energy. Electricity is prana. Your breathing is prana. Your digestion is prana. The different functions have different names, but they are all the same current or force, prana. You get prana from food, from the sun, and from the air you breathe. It's not simply breathing. The air stops at the lungs, but the prana goes throughout the body. Even though your lungs may be able to convert only part of the oxygen intake for the blood, the prana uses the other oxygen for all parts of the body. You are a bundle of energy. This vital force is prana. The practice of pranayama leads to the control, regulation, and mastery of this vital force. It is learning to control the prana and direct it as you want. Oxygen is a great panacea, a fine medicine for all kinds of poisons. The world will be much happier if it knows the importance of pranayama. By practicing the breathing techniques of pranayama, the mind becomes clear and fit for concentration. Pranayama purifies the nervous system and eliminates toxins from the body and blood. With pranayama, you can eliminate the mucus in the nose, which causes most hay fever and sinus discomfort. Prana is also the best cosmetic. One of the breathing practices is called the skull brightener. It makes your head and entire face glow with vitality from the prana. This is not just yoga wisdom. It's also scientific. Today, scientists know that we normally take in only 500 cubic centimeters of air in a normal breath. By using deep breathing yoga practices, we take in 3,700 cubic centimeters of air in one breath. We should all do some deep breathing now and then. Every hour, do a little deep breathing. Prana can never be polluted by anything. That's why we're still living in these cities. If the air around you is polluted, that's no excuse not to practice deep breathing. Between 4 and 6 a.m., there is no pollution. You don't even have to do anything. You will benefit by just getting up and walking around. It's also the best time to practice meditation. You must regulate the breath for meditation because the breath binds the mind to the body. If the breath is regulated, the mind is too. Calm, slow, and steady breathing will also keep the mind very calm. But before you calm the mind through slow, steady breathing, you should become alert. in the early morning, you can reshuffle the entire system, drive off drowsiness, bring a kind of exhilaration all over the body, remove the tension from different places, and bring harmonious movements in all the cells through a specific practice called Bhastrika, or the bellows breath. So, and that's from Sri Swami Sachidananda about the pranayamas, or yogic breathing. And certainly there's lots of books on the subject, and that should not be a difficult find. Of course, another ingredient in the whole area of foundational health is exercise. And I don't know, I guess as a guideline there, I try to use breaking a sweat 3 times a week as the minimal. And let's face it, the lifestyle in North America really doesn't lend itself a lot. I know you do see people that are involved in the gym or running, but as a mass group, certainly this area has become very neglected. And exercise is really, it's important, and it varies from person to person. For one person, it's walking around the block, and for another person, it's, running 5 miles. But the whole idea here is to get the blood flowing, and exercise clearly is important, as well as this whole idea of eliminating stress. And I know that a lot of the practices that are taught on ET Yoga, and as well as in your yoga practices, around keeping peace, and a lot of the techniques that are taught are directly related to eliminating stress and being calm and peaceful. And if you can find ways to eliminate some of the stress in your life, especially in the area of stressful relationships or work-related. Certainly I know it's harder and harder with less jobs, but certainly belief is important in this area, and developing some positive beliefs that, yes, you can create and you can find and be attracted to situations that involve less stress in personal relationships and in work-related activity. Another of those basic foundational concepts is lightening of the diet. And lightening of the diet is a polite way of saying get off the meat. And apparently, I didn't know this before I saw this film, but the white meats, as chicken and fish, have as much fat in them because of the fat in the muscle tissue as red meats. However, certainly the blood content isn't there, at least the red blood. But lightening of the diet really means getting off the red meats and all meats, ideally. The next one of those foundational concepts was actually detoxification. And this is one that, way back in the 60s and 70s, there wasn't a lot of talk about it, but now there is, because what the research is showing is that most North Americans lose between 3% and 5% of their immune system every 10 years. And why is that? Well, it's because these toxic foods, chemicals, the chemicals they put on your fruits and vegetables, the sprays in the air, the chemtrails, the fluorides in the water, all the places that you get toxins, these lodge in the body, and they build up year after year after year, and according to Bashara, they lodge in places in your molecular structure that actually paralyzes the immune system. And the research has shown on the flip side of this, that is, negative as acquiring them can be, that when you do thorough detoxifications, and again, great programs at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California for detoxing the colon first, and then the liver, gallbladder, kidneys, and as well as the brain and prostate for the men. And so these programs are set up. They're very effective, recommended by Bashar. And it's kind of interesting because I've heard Bashar stuff for 20 years or so, and I've only heard him really plug about 4 or 5 things. And American Botanical Pharmacy products, he definitely plugs them. And so this whole idea of detoxification and what the result has been, both from Dr. Schultz, who runs those programs, and Bashar, is that they both say that 85% of all physical symptoms in the human body that are, you know, of negative nature disappear after a thorough detoxification, that's head to colon, and by providing the body with proper nutrients, such as that in superfood. And I know there's different, you know, ways to sort of attack this problem or find sources of superfood, but superfood is also available there at the American Botanical Pharmacy. And so, you know, to me, this is the cornerstone, like, of good health for the nation. It's like if everybody went and did a thorough detoxification and ate superfood, then 85% of the issue is going to be gone. It might put a hole in the pharmaceuticals' profits, but to me, that'd be the way to go. And in addition to that, there's this Dr. Schultz, you know, says when you go to be a patient of his or one of his programs, he suggests that you buy a blender and a juicer and get off the meat. So I really like his whole approach. So in sort of reviewing those basic concepts, pure water, oxygenation, especially through yogic breathing, elimination of stress, exercise, lightening the body by getting off meats, and thorough detoxification, and in addition to that, putting the proper nutrients into the system. And according to Dr. Schultz, he's never had anybody come into his office that wasn't deficient in some area. So you know, these are the foundational concepts of health. And what I find in my own experience in talking to people that I know, you know, some people do some of them. Some of them exercise a lot, and some of them are off meat, and some of them do yoga breathing. But I don't know anybody that does them all. And that is quite concerning. So, you know, to me, it's not, these concepts sound simple, but it's a question of, you know, doing the work and making it a priority. And this is the kind of thing that needs to be taught to our kids as well. You know, the foundation of good health, and not to think that the human body is, you know, susceptible to to every disease known to man, and be fearful of things. I think the idea is to express to kids the belief that the human body is an amazing healing organ, and this is from the positive side of looking at of health and creating good health. And I have to, you know, at this point, really spend a little time talking about the fact that I don't, in my own personal opinion, believe that people can be totally successful in their spiritual goals, nor in any of their disciplining towards losing weight, quitting smoking, or anything else, really, if they are going to sit around and watch on television for 35 or 40 hours a week. And, you know, it's one of those things that as the Eagles would say, some of these things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. And according to the Pleiadians, and I quote, "The media captures your attention and then programs your imagination, essentially canceling out your unique creative drive to manifest your own reality, as well as your desire to know yourself. A paralysis of power takes hold because you become convinced that the only reality is what is described and prescribed by the authorities in the box. Reality is created and produced by each and every one of you, and those seeking to control the world have kept this knowledge a well-guarded secret." And also from the Pleiadians, "We strongly suggest you get rid of your television sets. They are the primary tool used to manipulate your consciousness on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes liberating information is broadcasted, perhaps even a New Age show. However, you may watch such a television show about how uplifted and unlimited you can be, while subliminally you're being hit with a frequency that keeps you from original thinking. Television also promotes inactivity and a sedentary, obese life. Look around you. Wake up, humans." That's from the Pleiadians. And, you know, if you can't get rid of your television set, which would be the optimum, it's like, you know, make a conscious effort to, you know, severely limit, reduce your viewing. You know, to my way of thinking, it's called, you got a favorite show, you know, watch it, skip the rest, especially the news. You're going to hear the news anyway. Trust me, I never watch the news. I don't have a newspaper. I don't even have a TV set that works. So, you know, I don't know. It's not necessary. I know it was a little difficult at first, but you know what? What I found was you get a life. It's called you get off your butt and you go and you make friends and you go and walk around the block, you join a club, you read books, you develop hobbies, you do things that aren't centered around a TV. And I've been there, done that, where you come home from work and you turn on the TV and the TV's still on when you go to bed. And it's it's become the norm for a lot of people. And to be honest with you, it's not a very healthy norm. And take a hint from the Pleiadians and severely limit it. And like I said, in fact, I've even heard them, Pleiadians, actually say that sometime in the future there'll be a study done and everybody with a chronic disease will have been shown to be a chronic television watcher. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Also, with respect to being efficient, you know, in a busy lifestyle, how to be really efficient in your spiritual progress. Well, I don't know of a better one than from the Pleiadians. And this is from information from Bringers of the Dawn, Barbara Marciniak, channeling the Pleiadians. And they say, from our point of view, you have all knowledge, and you just need to activate the memory that is stored inside your being. We've noticed that some of you from your location of experience are out there moaning and groaning, saying, we need help and assistance now and again. So let us suggest to you an avenue that you can definitely walk down, a formula that works. The formula is quite simple. It is for you in this moment and every day to consistently set out with clarity what you wish to experience. Perhaps what you want falls into a category of impossibility according to someone else's boundaries or someone else's limitations. But with a sense of deserving and graciousness, discover inside yourself what will bring you happiness. What makes you feel light and connected and alive? What do you desire that will bring peace on the planet as you occupy your own being? Whatever those things are, begin to want them. Call them to yourself by saying, it is my intention that I experience a harmonious lifestyle. It is my intention to experience health and energy that lead me to creative adventures. It is my intention that I be well provided for, that shelter and food and all of the things I need to experience life be given to me in great abundance, and that I pass this great abundance on and share it with others. These are not ideas you have been trained to think of. Two or three times a day, devote a small portion of your time to getting clear about what you want. Every day, open the energy centers in your body and above your body by calling the frequency of light. We call this the pillar of light. Picture a beam of light coming into your 12 chakra centers, 7 inside your body and 5 outside your body. These chakras are information centers or vortexes that once activated begin to spin. And when they spin, they create a movement inside your body that activates the light-encoded filaments to work together, rebundle, and form the 12 evolving helixes in the body. It is very important for everyone who wishes to be in complete balance with their physical being to practice on a regular basis some kind of deep breathing program. This is a program in which breath is very important and oxygenation is practiced so that oxygen is brought into the body. Another activity we recommend for those of you who wish to move into vast acceleration of energy is spinning. Move from left to right, spinning around and focusing your vision on your thumb, counting and spinning. We recommend that you spin 33 times at least once a day. You may build up to the 33 spins very slowly. If you are able to work up to 33 spins 3 times a day so that you are spinning 99 times, well, we'll see how long you stay on the planet, or at least in this dimension. When you complete spinning, however many times you spin, bring your palms together at chest level, press them together, keeping your eyes open, and balance yourself with your feet a shoulder's width apart so that you feel anchored and still feel the spinning at the same time. This tremendously accelerates the spinning of the chakra systems inside your body, which tremendously accelerates the rate at which you can interpret and receive data. So, the methods to use are intention, breathing, using the pillar of light, and spinning. We will add a postscript to these. As you are electronic beings who are altering your frequency at a very fast rate, we would recommend that you drink a tremendous amount of water, fresh water, purified water, or spring water. Water acts as a conduit or conductor. It keeps your system open and flowing. And I find it's quite interesting that some of the key points of those recommendations from the Pleiadians, in fact, they talk about with a sense of deserving, which we pointed out at the top of the show. Also, the whole concept of intention. You notice at the top of the show, I mentioned to develop the belief of, I intend to be part of the hologram that creates heaven on earth. Intention is a power word. And also the focus on the breathing programs. And as well, their comments about fresh water and pure water. And these Pleiadian techniques, and by the way, if you're interested, because you didn't catch it all or you want to take your time going through that information is also at my website of Healing the Known and the Unknown. And there's four archived ET yoga shows there. One of them is called Extraterrestrial Meditation. And on that particular tape is the XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation, which is designed to expand consciousness, as well as on that tape is the Pleiadian Spinning and Pillar of Light Techniques. Also on that tape, as I recall, is the Merkaba Meditation, as well as the Sri Ramana Maharshi Who Am I Technique, called the Vichara. And that's 1995 at Healing the Known and the Unknown, MaxwellGreenSite.com. Maxwell is in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, site.com. And in addition to those very efficient spiritual techniques from the Pleiadians, in terms of mental attitude, I think it would be very wise to certainly take that 100% responsibility for your experience in 3D, because that is the starting point of 4D consciousness and also gets you out of victimhood. And when you really connect with the concept that your thoughts, beliefs, emotions, definitions, those are what create your outer experience, and it is a mirror. It is not an analogy. It is a perfect mirror, what you experience and those beliefs, definitions, emotions. And once you catch on to that, then you can't help but take 100% responsibility, because you're the one creating the outer reflection. So that to me is, that's square one on that count. And as Bashar would say, the primary objective, a primary function of the rational mind is to put a positive spin on outer circumstance. And this is the technique that I love hearing people comment about, because once you get it, once you start doing this technique, put this into practice, and you start connecting with it, you start to see that, oh, wow, it works. And the whole idea is that circumstances don't come with built-in meaning. They just don't. We put an emotional spin on outer circumstances, and that creates the effect we get from that circumstance. When you put positive emotional spin on any outer circumstance, the end result's going to be positive, and it's just strictly physics. It's the way the universe works. And it's really your point of power in a sense, because you can throw a positive spin on everything. And I challenge people, certain issues or certain problems, take different times before you see the positive result. But there will be one. And So the technique or the formula is positive emotional spin in, positive experience out, negative emotional spin in, negative experience is the result. And I challenge people, like, the next time you come across a negative situation, or you're in one right now, instead of wallowing in the negativity of it, say, no matter, even though I can't see any possible way something positive can come from this, put a positive emotional spin on the situation, take a few minutes, put that in as much energy as you can muster, and put a positive emotional spin on the situation, and write it down when you did it, and keep track of these situations. When you put positive emotional spin on what you would believe to be negative experiences, and log them on paper, and see what the results are. And that's the challenge that I offer the audience. And once you start connecting with this, then you'll see how it works. And in addition, then, in connection to that concept would be Bashar's concept about outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters. And he says this is a communication to and from your higher self. So it's a connection with and to your higher self. And the idea is, if you prefer joy, then choose joy and see the situation through those eyes and then act on the situation. And again, a very powerful technique, because the fact is, yeah, you can choose your own emotional state. And it is the most important, because your emotional frequency is what interfaces with the morphogenetic field, which creates your experience in 3D reality. And it's now been proven that the neural network in the heart, which they call now the brain in the heart, is 5,000 times more powerful than the brain in the head. And this is what interfaces with the morphogenetic field. So this is all like science now. And, of course, another of the Bashar suggestions is to follow your excitement, because it's the compass that keeps you in alignment with your higher self. So following your excitement with integrity in any moment, and then at any given time during the day, following up on whatever is the most exciting thing that's available to you at that time. And a very simple way to, again, do a spiritual technique in the midst of a busy day. I should also point out here that, as Swami Satchidananda would say, especially in these times, or, you know, really in any times, foundation of spiritual progress is keeping your peace. Because once you lose your peace, you're not of use to yourself nor anyone else. And part of that entails not being in fear. And from the College of Christ Consciousness, I'll quote, "I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. Believing that anything or anyone else has more power than I do is the erroneous belief that causes all fear. Fear is erroneous thinking and is illusion. Everything in my reality is created by my beliefs." So this is totally in conjunction with exactly what Bashar says. And as Bashar says, you cannot experience what you are not the vibration of. And to continue with the College of Christ Consciousness, as aspects of all that is, Prime Creator God, I create my own personal reality as God creates through thought. Everything begins with thought. Next, I have an emotional reaction to the thought. Thought and emotion create beliefs, from which perceptions, behavior, and patterns of response are formed. And my perceived reality is thus constructed out of these personal belief systems. Nothing can be thrust upon me. I invite everything into my awareness through my thinking. It is my believing that makes it so. And of course, all of the concepts, spiritual techniques, disciplines, and everything that is experienced in 3D, in my way of thinking, needs to be seen through this filter of belief, because really, belief is everything. And other of the concepts at the College of Christ Consciousness, and I quote, "No one can create or create in my reality but me. As an individualized aspect of God, I am endowed with the ability of creating my own unique experience of being God. That experience can only be unique if I am the only one creating in it, because I am God expressing itself as me. I have no limitations on what I can create in my reality, including the illusion that someone else is doing the creating. How I feel is a reaction to what I believe. All emotions are responses to thoughts. Positive emotions are responses to thoughts based in God's ultimate truth. Negative emotions are responses to illusionary thoughts based in fear. And as Bashar would say, when you channel energy through positive thoughts and energy that's in alignment with your higher self, the results are the positive emotions. Joy, love, peace, gratitude. But when you channel energy through beliefs that are not in alignment with your higher self, the results are the negative emotions. And in conjunction to those ideas, Germain says, you know, it's really important to make fear your friend. And why? Because Germain says, Mr. Fear has his foot on the toolbox labeled your personal power. And until you befriend Mr. Fear, you cannot get at that toolbox. He's the one to contend with, and he is part of you. And because he is part of you, he needs to be valued and recognized for what he can give to you. When you can do that, that is an indication that you are either very close to mastering or have mastered your fear. When you've mastered fear, once again we will repeat, when you've mastered fear, you have mastered self-empowerment. Bashar would say, oh joy, another fear, like a sour note on a keyboard that needs to be tuned up. And when you are truly committed toward mastery of personal power, if you're truly committed and truly excited, then even the fear will be an exciting thing. And if your fear is an exciting thing, then because it represents the path to your power, then you are full steam ahead. And if not, then continue to search for the mastery of your fear before you go further. And once again, when you feel the excitement, you will know you're ready. Your fear is extremely valuable because it points out to you when you are having tremendous growth opportunities. If you can identify through your behavior when you are in fear, you can stop and say, aha, this is an extremely valuable time right now because it signifies something for me to move through which will be tremendously empowering. And when you can accept the value of everything in your life, including the negative, including fear, that will be when you claim your power. And another interesting point is that humans are more afraid of fear than the actual thing they claim they are afraid of. And I think there's two real obvious examples going on right now, and that is where people have given up all their personal freedoms and rights to be protected. And also from the concept of even viruses or whatever, because probably, who knows, I guess we'll see, but maybe the protection will be worse than the disease. So, you know, this is really, you know, one of these biggies that are out there right now. And a suggestion from Germain is to personify your fear. Like take a clean sheet of paper and draw your fear. Draw a human form and you know, make it personal. And what this is going to do is to communicate to your subconscious mind and your ego that fear is on your level. And Mr. Fear, when personified, is like fear being revealed. And once you reveal a fear, it actually neutralizes its power. And it is now vulnerable. And you can take this and use all sorts of techniques, such as dialoguing with fear, to help the transformational process occur and create new self-empowering beliefs. And as Bashar would say, you always get in physical reality only what you already believe to be the most likely reality you'll get. And only when you choose to truly believe with your whole heart and soul, this is what I am all about, this is really the way I prefer to be, when you generate that feeling and that desire and that energy within you, then your outer reality will absolutely have no choice but to reflect that inner feeling and that inner knowingness. And I might add that you know, a lot of the topics tonight have been around, you know, health and spiritual techniques, inner thinking. For those of you who are looking for a one-stop shop to find that information, I certainly recommend my site at maxwellgreensite.com. And this particular site was put together so that people who are, you know, have a busy lifestyle, who don't have thousands of hours to research a lot of the amazing information that's on the internet, or don't even have the skills to do that, this site, Healing the Known and the Unknown, was basically set up, you know, for these times. And it is connected clearly to the concept that the farther that you become self-empowered, the more power that you have in the area of healing. And I should also point out that with respect to the physical aspects, that getting sunlight and vitamin D right now is very important. And personally don't buy any of the fear teachings about the sun. I don't use sunscreen. I think it's more of a promoter of skin problems than an asset. I don't feel I need protection. To my way of thinking, only victims need protection. And the sun's like my spiritual father, and sunlight, especially for those who live in North America, I think you can take about as much as you can get. Of course, there are different skin types as well, and if you're very pale and white-skinned, then possibly you can't take too much. But I know so many people that are afraid of sunlight that personally, okay, I'm not buying it. And also, I should put in a plug here for the Egyptian healing rods, because I really think those are a very powerful tool these days to stimulate the immune system, balance your yin and yang energies, stimulate your higher chakras, and that's from a positive point of view, and from a healing point of view, also very powerful, known to be effective with dealing with tumors. And quartz rods number 3 in particular are I've been shown to be very effective in that regard. And at this point in time, I'd just like to say again that you can always email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. I'm very happy to answer questions that you might have about material presented on the show, as well as I'm always interested in suggestions concerning program content. And, of course, the site, Healing the Known and the Unknown, at maxwellgreensite.com. That's the place where the funding comes for me to do ET yoga. So I appreciate your support on items there. There's also free downloads at that site. And the free downloads are concerning dealing with abusive relationships, as well as some self-empowering ideas that are free downloads at maxwellgreensite.com. And at this point in time, I'd just like to give you my best wishes towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.